This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This is John Lyons right now on WEEI.
Welcome into the John Lyons Show here on WEEI. As you may have guessed, I'm John Lyons. And we have David Azer producing for us. David, how are you today?
Doing good. How are you?
Not bad. And it's going to be just about a couple hours here for me on WEEI. I'm taking you up until 6:15. Duke versus North Carolina basketball will be on the airwaves after that. A lot to get to, though, in just a couple hours. I'm obviously going to talk Celtics. You just heard the game winner from last night. I'm going to talk some of this Brady Mahomes storyline from this past week. I'm not going to beat the dead horse with it, but I'm going to get into it a little bit because I have some thoughts on not just Brady Mahomes, but Belichick, Reed, Kelsey, Gronk, and the Chiefs-Patriots thing as a whole. Ted Johnson also made some headlines with his credit percent, if you will, on the Belichick-Brady on the dynasty thing. So I might give you some thoughts on that. Cooper Boardman's going to join me at 5:20 to talk Red Sox. If you don't know Cooper Boardman, make sure you tune in at 5:20. He does a great job with Red Sox pregame and postgame here on EEI. I'm going to give you a little look-ahead preview to the Super Bowl next weekend as well. And if you haven't heard, a.k.a. you've been living under a rock, today is the anniversary of Super Bowl 49, 10 years ago tonight, and the anniversary 21 years ago tonight of Super Bowl 38. So at the end of the show, I might share a few thoughts on those couple games because they were just fantastic. I want to share some thoughts on them. So I want to start here, though, with the Celtics. And look, as the Celtics sit here at 34-15, they win last night on that Tatum buzzer beater. And I thought Mego and Shime had a really good discussion this morning. If you missed any of that, go on the Odyssey app, go on Apple Podcasts, go on the website, wherever you get your Odyssey and WEEI content, and go back and listen. I thought they had a really good discussion about it to start off their show this morning. I thought it was a key win because not just Tatum hits the game winner, but they win a tight game. They're 5-2 in their last seven. So, yeah, they're 34-15. They're really good. They're not quite as dominant, I think, as we thought they would be, especially after that first week of the season. Remember, they blow out the Knicks on opening night. They win a couple games after that. And I'm sitting here thinking, man, they might win 68, 70 games, be an all-time team record-wise. And they still can get to that 60-win mark. Don't get me, it's not out of the question, but they haven't been quite as dominant this year, especially over the past 6 weeks or so. They've been largely a 500 team, really, over the past 6 weeks. But it feels like maybe over the last seven games, they've been getting back on track a little bit. I mean, they went 3-1 on that West Coast road trip. Now, the loss to the Lakers was tough, especially that third quarter where they're down 12 and Tatum and Brown miss four straight free throws that would have made it to eight. And, you know, who knows what would have happened then. But that was a bad loss to the Lakers. But still, they go 3-1 on the trip. They blow out Dallas last Saturday evening. And then they come home and they lose a game to Houston. I'm sitting there after the Houston game thinking, oh, man, 114-112 loss. Houston played great, but the Celtics are outscored 29-23 in the fourth. Dylan Brooks hits 10 threes. Amen Thompson, 33 points. A lot of uncontested shots by the Rockets, especially in the second half. You're up 12 points in the fourth quarter. You have those bad defensive possessions on the final two possessions. 14 turnovers as a team. I could go on and on, right? So Houston's good, don't get me wrong. And obviously we know Udoka's a good coach. Brooks had a career night. Amen Thompson had a great night as well. But it's a game you should have won. So then after that game, I'm sitting there like, oh, all right, they're 3-2 in their last five. Yeah, it's not bad. And the win against Dallas I thought was a good win. Obviously they had that 40-point win against Golden State. But I still didn't feel great after that Houston game. And then they come back and they beat the Bulls. And the Bulls stink, I know. But they go plus 17 in the second and third quarters combined. Derek White has 22 points. Porzingis has 34, including 26 in the first half. And you're like, okay, now they're 4-2. But can they follow it up and beat a New Orleans team? Again, another not good team, right, on the road that you're better than. And there was New Orleans tie. You know, it's kind of close throughout the second half. Celtics are up by 4, by 6, right here and there. And, of course, the Pelicans tie it. It's 116-116 game. And you get that Tatum game winner with 0.2 seconds left. And I think that was important for a few reasons. One, let's state the obvious. Yeah, you won the game, all right? Yeah, let's state the obvious, okay? But I think then to now go 5-2 in your last seven, I think is because now it feels like they're kind of back on the right track. Now, they're not fully back to the dominant team we saw in the first, say, week two, three of the season, but it feels like they're heading back that way. And there's two reasons for that, right? One is their starting five, that true starting five of Tatum, Brown, Porzingis, White, Holiday, is finally actually playing consistent minutes together. I mean, as of January 10th, that true starting five had 116 minutes together as of January 10th. As of today, after last night's game, they now have 245 minutes together, which still is not a high number, I know. But in the last 3 weeks, they played 129 minutes together. And it feels like they're finally starting to get into a rhythm. Porzingis is playing arguably the best basketball of his career, definitely the best basketball in his time as a Celtic, which has been huge for them. And Derek White, now he hasn't played, he didn't play the Houston game Monday night, so he's but in his last three games, he's averaging 20 points per game, and more importantly, he's shooting 42% from three. And it really goes back to that Dallas game. Remember, Derek White had been struggling from the three-point line. And then you go that Dallas game, he goes 4-for-10 from three. Then he goes 4-for-10 against Chicago. Last night, 3-of-6 against the Pelicans. So he's shooting 42% over his last three games, 20 points per game. And when Derek White is playing well and when he's hitting threes, and we say this about a lot of guys, but it feels like that's when the Celtics get into the no one's going to beat them territory. And look, obviously, Tatum and Brown are the drivers behind this. I know Porzingis, when he's on, it feels like nobody can beat them. But when you have then Derek White, your fourth guy, shooting 42% from three, playing good defense, playmaking on offense, then it feels like they kind of move into that territory of no one's going to beat them. And then as far as Jason Tatum goes, when we knew coming into this year, it would be an MVP type year or a year where he was going to go for the MVP at least. And look, he's averaging 26.7 points per game. That's sixth in the NBA, just under 9 rebounds, 5.5 assists. He's shooting 45%. He's been great, but he's also, I think this has been the best clutch season of his career. And if you look at, you know, his rankings in the NBA, and some of these stats are from Taylor Snow, shout out to him, works for the team. In clutch time, Tatum has scored 79 points this year, which is sixth. 29 field goals made, second. 25 rebounds, fifth. 20 assists, second. And three-point shots go ahead or tying the game in the last 5 seconds. He's got three of those, tied first, or three shots to go ahead. So he is night in and night out when clutch situations arise. He's essentially a top six player in the NBA in the clutch alone. Not to mention that he's, you know, scoring sixth best in the NBA and probably going to be a first-team All-NBA guy for the fourth time. So I look at the way Tatum has been in the clutch. I look at Derek White getting back on track. It feels like the Celtics as a whole, again, 5-2 in their last seven. I don't want to go overboard, but it feels like they're starting to turn that corner and get back on track. And yeah, I know that the loss to the Lakers was bad, and I know the loss to Houston was frustrating, but you're 5-2. You gave Golden State their worst home loss of the Steve Kerr era. you kind of hung on to win a game against the Clippers, which, again, I'm not going to throw a parade for that, but you won the game. You may, so I'll give you that. Then you blow out Dallas, who I know didn't have Luka, and then you beat Chicago, a bad team. You blow them out, and then you go on the road to, and this is a New Orleans game, too, last night. Think back to when they lost to the Raptors a couple weeks back, or how about December 23rd when they had a 15-point lead against the Magic, a shorthanded Magic team, and still lost. So this was one of those games that over the past month, they've kind of been losing games like this. You know, I gave you those two examples. There's some others in there, too. They've been kind of losing games where they're the superior team. They have some sort of lead, maybe a double-digit lead, maybe close to it, and they can't quite hang on. So that's why to follow up the Chicago blowout by winning that game in New Orleans, and I know it was a close game against a team they're better than, but by winning that game, again, that's a game I feel like over the past 5-6 weeks, over the past month, they would have lost that game. They would have followed up a blowout win against Chicago with a loss to New Orleans. So for them to win that game, now they're 5-2 in their last seven. Tatum is playing like a first-team All-NBA guy, top six player in the league in the clutch. Porzingis is playing the best basketball of his career. And Derek White, as I said, feels like he's back on track. You're 42% from three in your last three games. You're averaging 20 points per game, playing defense better and better. So even though, you know, you have nights that Hauser isn't there, you have nights that Horford isn't there, you've been able to have 129 minutes with your true starting five over the past 3 weeks. And that was my one concern. If you go back to late December, early January, when I was on these airwaves, that was my biggest concern. It wasn't so much health in itself. It was, hey, these starting five have not played a lot of minutes. I mean, there was a time in late December where they had only played like 86 minutes together all year. And so now you're at a point where you get to 116 minutes together on January 10th. You get to 245 after last night. You're starting to get into a rhythm, because even a team that's as good as the Celtics, you need to be able to get into some sort of rhythm with your starting five. Because I think if we look ahead, and not to get too far ahead, but if we look ahead, their path in the playoffs, I imagine, is going to be more difficult than last year. Cleveland is better than they were a year ago, right? You have Oklahoma City lurking out there in the West. We'll see. I mean, if they get through, like obviously could be Denver, could be the Lakers. Once Dallas gets healthy, the West is really, really good. I mean, we just saw Houston come in here. So I think going forward, they're going to have a tougher road than last year, and it's nice to see them kind of back on what feels like the right track. Before we go to break, let's go to one quick phone call. Walter in Worcester wants to talk Tatum and the Celtics. Walter, welcome in. What do you got for us?
Hey, John. How you doing, man?
Not bad. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Simon Mago had a great show today. You're right in that discussion about Tatum, and I think Mago really brought it. And again, not as a homer, but there really has been a lot of negativity towards Tatum. And I really think what hurts him is he's a nice guy. He's a quiet guy. He's a classy guy. He doesn't go out to promote himself. There is no brand, really. He just goes out and he does his game. And if you look at, and you did, you laid out the stats. I mean, the guy's having a dominant year. He's not doing it LeBron style, but he's having an excellent year. The guy that I'm looking at that I need to think has to pick it up is Brown. You know, not too impressed with him. And I think Pritchard, you know, we were talking about him being a sixth man of the year. That talk has kind of faded away. So, you know, this team, they got a target on their back. And I think you get it. I think other people get it, that it's not going to be a cakewalk every night. Teams up their game for you. And I think the Celtics, are they behind a little bit last year? Yes, they are at this point in the season. Their record says it. But Tatum, his numbers are right where they were. And in some cases, the stats that we don't really talk about, like clutch, those are up.
Walter, thanks for the call. And I agree with a lot of what he said there. I think maybe Tatum, he might, and I know he's got his own shoe. I actually own a pair, David, of Tatum shoes, right? So I know he's got his own shoe. I get it. But he isn't the media story that Giannis is, or LeBron is, or Durant is, or Jokic is. But you look around, I mean, he's on the first team All-NBA with those guys, and SGA as well in Oklahoma City. I think SGA doesn't get enough credit in Oklahoma City. Part of that is he plays in a city that has 700,000 inhabitants. Not his fault, but I don't think Tatum gets, and sometimes Tatum gets penalized, and I think this is stupid, for being on a great team. Like when LeBron was on the Heat, that was obviously a loaded team, and people were still like, hey, LeBron can win an MVP. He's amazing. When Durant was on the Warriors with Curry, You know, people didn't like that he joined the Warriors, but they still acknowledged, hey, this dude's awesome. This is a super team. And it feels like Tatum sometimes gets penalized for that. And I think it's a little unfair at times as far as just his credit, his overall popularity, whatever you want to call it. So I think that's a good point by Walter in Worcester. But before we go any further, we are going to talk some more Celtics later in the program. I do want to get to this Brady Mahomes, Patriots, Chiefs thing, of course. I know it's been a big talker all week. Before we do any of that, though, it's time to trend with producer David Azer.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, let's get you caught up on what's trending here on WEEI and WEEI.com. The Bruins are currently in action at home against the New York Rangers. The score is currently tied at one goal apiece with about 3.5 minutes left in the first period. Charlie McAvoy has the one goal for the Bruins, and all-star forward JT Miller scored for the Rangers in his debut. The Celtics defeated the Pelicans 118-116 thanks to a last-second shot by Jason Tatum. Tatum and Brown combined for 55 points in the win. The Boston College hockey team is getting set for their matchup with the UMass Minutemen. You can hear the call of the game on WEEI AM 850 at 6:45 tonight. Stay tuned later in the day for Westwood One's coverage of NCAA men's basketball right here on WEEI. Tonight is a huge rivalry game with the UNC Tar Heels squaring off with the Duke Blue Devils. Coverage begins at 6:15 p.m. I'm David Azer. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
We're back to John Lyons on WEEI.
How do you feel about like the that kind of comes alongside of being the greatest of all time for the biggest league on earth?
Yeah, I think that there's nothing that Patrick can do, in my opinion, that takes away from what I tried to accomplish in my career. And there's nothing that I did can take away from what he's trying to accomplish.
In football, but Brady has it with a strike. And how good is that? 600. That's regular season numbers.
As long as tried to make a diving and tip there by Holmes, who tiptoes inside the 10. Still not down. Oh, what a run! Out of this world!
Fires it to the right, down the right sideline, and caught at the 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Patriots! Tom Brady to Randy Moss, and they each have set NFL records on the go-ahead touchdown. 65-yard bomb.
Play action by Mahomes. Comes a pass and caught by Kelce. Downfield he goes.
And Brady's going to throw deep down the right side for Gronkowski and a touchdown. Mahomes, that shoulder shake, buys time, fires on the run. West for the touchdown.
Back here on WEEI. Shout out to David Azer for that little Brady Mahomes montage. David, good job.
Thank you. Yeah, that was my first time doing anything like that, so it was fun.
So, David, since I got you here, Brady Mahomes, Chiefs, Patriots, that's been a big topic all week. We're talk about it for a few minutes here. Do you feel like the Chiefs are approaching the Patriots? Do you not want them to approach the Patriots? Where are you at?
I sense them approaching the Patriots. I think the three-peat, if they are to pull that off, would be big for this debate. I'm obviously not a Chiefs fan. I really can't stand most of the players on that team. But, you know, to kind of play devil's advocate, I can also understand people probably felt the same way about the Patriots dynasty at that time.
Yeah, and the last point you make is a good one, because I don't want the Chiefs to be better than the Patriots.
Right.
Right? I don't want that to happen. That being said, I don't think if you're a Patriots fan, you can really hate the Chiefs. Like, I just don't think you can't, because if you look at what they're doing, they're copying, or not copying, but they're following the footsteps of exactly what you're doing. They're following in the footsteps of you. And there was almost that passing of the torch, but not quite, when Brady beat Mahomes in the 2018 AFC Championship game. Then, of course, the Super Bowl a couple years after that. So it wasn't quite a passing of the torch, but it was. It felt like it was maybe heading in that direction because, of course, remember, Mahomes won a Super Bowl the year in between. He wins a Super Bowl a couple of years after that. If they three-peat, it still doesn't put it, to me, on the level of the Patriots, but it would be, A, a really impressive feat, and B, it is something, in fairness, the Patriots did not do. They almost did, right? In 05, they got to the divisional round of the playoffs. And then from 2016, 17, and 18, they made it to three straight Super Bowls. Of course, in 2015, they lost by 2 points in the AFC Championship game, and they won a Super Bowl the year before and the year after. So they were close. I mean, they almost did it. But when you look at the totality of the Patriots over 20 years, so they go to 9 Super Bowls as part of their dynasty. They win 6. The 3 that they lose are all one-possession games. So if the Chiefs three-peat, they'll have 4. It's still not 6. It's not 2 decades of dominance. They did get blown out in 1 Super Bowl loss, too. I mean, I know that's nitpicking. I get it. It's nitpicking. But just if you're comparing the two runs, and I think the Chiefs are at 7 straight AFC Championship games. Of course, the Patriots went to 8. I get it. The Patriots do have that 16-0 regular season undefeated. I know they didn't finish the job. I remember it well. Patriots also went 11-5 one of those years with Matt Castle in 2008. Like, if Patrick Mahomes missed a year, would the Chiefs go 11-5 or 11-6, obviously, with 17 games now? I don't think so. I'm not telling you they'd suck. I just don't know if they would go 11-6 like the Patriots went 11-5 in 2008. So I think there's some things there that the Chiefs still need to do. Like, if they three-peat, I would put them over any other dynasty besides the Patriots. Like, if they three-peat and they've won 4 Super Bowls since 2019, then, you know, that puts them ahead of the 70s Steelers, the 80s 49ers, the Cowboys in the 90s. Like, then they surpass all those dynasties. I'll give them that. The Packers, if you want to go back to the 50s and 60s, I'd put the Chiefs over all those. They're not at the level yet of the Patriots. And I think, David, you made the point. They're trending somewhat in that direction, and that's fair. But I think trending in that direction is different than being there. And I think that's also, too, where this Mahomes-Brady thing comes in. So the easy one is, right, Brady beat him twice. Once in the AFC Championship game at Mahomes' home stadium when Brady put 37 points on the board. The other one was in the Super Bowl when Tampa blew him out. But, I mean, you look at some of these, and I'm not going to read every single number here. You can look that up on your own because I don't want to bore you. But just look at some of them. Brady, an NFL record, 89,214 passing yards. Mahomes would pretty much have to triple his passing yards to surpass Brady. I'm not saying he can't do it, but he's sitting at 32,352. He's got to triple, essentially triple that to pass Brady. And it's possible, but think about what you're asking. Mahomes, 245 touchdown passes in his career. Brady at 649. So Mahomes has to do, what, 2.5 times more before he can get to that 649 range? Triple it, essentially, to be. So he's got to triple his passing yards, triple his touchdowns to surpass Brady. Again, not saying he can't do it, right? The interception numbers. Mahomes has 74 in his career. Now, Brady has 212, but Brady had 9 full seasons. Think about this. In his career, he had 9 full seasons of starting with less than 10 interceptions. And it, I mean, 2010, he had 4. 2016, he had, what, 2? And I know that year he started 12 games instead of 16, but still, like, 2. That's nuts. And their completion percentage is about the same. Brady has 1 more regular season MVP. He's got 2 more Super Bowl MVPs. Mahomes would have to double his playoff wins to get to Brady's level. He's got 17. Brady has 35. He'd have to double his playoff touchdowns to get to Brady, right? He'd have to double, actually, he'd have to almost triple his fourth quarter comebacks to get to Brady. Brady has 46 in his career. Mahomes has 19. And Brady, 14 game-winning drives in the playoffs, an NFL record. Now, Mahomes does have 7, but still, my point is, you look at a lot of the great things Mahomes has done. For him to get to Brady, he'd still have to triple most of the numbers. I mean, triple his yards, triple his touchdowns, you know, triple his double his playoff wins and playoff touchdowns. You know, double or more than double, triple his fourth quarter comebacks. Like, he's going to have to double and triple most of his numbers to get into Brady's neighborhood. And I know you could say, oh, Brady played a million years. Obviously, his raw numbers are higher. Yeah, but he was also consistently great among really 3 different eras of football. Like, you go back to the early 2000s, the average passer rating for an NFL QB, 82.8. In 2024, 92.3. Again, that's the passer rating across the NFL, right? Your average. 82.8 in 2004, 92.3. So what does that tell you? Passing is a bigger part of the game. Numbers are going to be higher. And part of these rule changes have made it easier to throw the ball. I mean, Mahomes does not take some of the hits Brady took in his first 7 years. Mahomes doesn't have to deal with defenses that are as good as what Brady dealt with. And I'm telling you, he goes against defenses that suck. That Eagles defense next Sunday is really, really good. The 49ers defense he beat last year is really, really good. But defense has been, and I love defense, but it has been de-emphasized over the course of the past 10 years. I mean, that Legion of Boom defense, 10 years ago today, Tom Brady led two touchdown drives in the fourth quarter against the Legion of Boom defense. I don't think Mahomes has ever played against a defense that good. I mean, even that 2018 Rams defense in the Super Bowl that had Ndamukong Suh and Aaron Donald, like that defense, I don't know if, and it's, he's played it again. The Eagles defense is great. The 49ers last year was great. He obviously played against that great Patriots defense in 2018, lost to it twice. Although the first time he did put 40 points on the board and the second time 31. So I'm not kind of trying to sneeze at it, but I mean, Brady was dominant in an early 2000s era where in 2002 he led the league in passing by 03. And that's another thing. A lot of people are like, oh, Brady was carried by his defense. No. I mean, the defense was elite, and especially 03, 04. Best defense in the league. They were an elite defense in 01 as well. Multiple Hall of Famers. Ty Law, friend of the Greg Hill Show here on EEI, but Richard Seymour, right? You had multiple, Vince Wilfork by 04. You had multiple Hall of Famers there. So I'm not taking that away. My point is that Brady, by 03, was an elite quarterback. And you look at the NFL in 03, 04, it's quite different, especially from an offensive perspective, than 2011, 2012, 2013, and 14, when Brady went to, you know, four straight AFC championship games and two Super Bowls, and that span threw for 5,000 yards in 2011, using two tight ends all over the place. And that NFL was also different than what he played in with the Bucs when he went to a Super Bowl, had another MVP-level season after that. So that's why when I look at Mahomes, I think he's already, and Megan Onalini had a column on the website about this earlier this week. Like, I think Mahomes is already a top five QB of all time. If he wins next week, I'll probably put him at number two ahead of Joe Montana. Right now, I'd give Joe Montana a slight edge, but it's close. But Mahomes is already top five. It's just the gap from where he's at to get to Brady, again, we're talking about doubling and tripling a lot of the numbers. We're talking about a guy in Brady who the first part of his career, average NFL passer rating, 82.8, whereas now it's 92.3. It's easier to, and I'm not trying to bash Mahomes. It's just Brady played in a tougher league to be an elite quarterback 20 years ago than Mahomes does now. And it was even tougher for Brady earlier in his career probably than later. It goes both ways. I mean, when Brady was on the Bucs, and even his last few years with the Patriots, the rules were emphasizing the passing game then too. And you notice once Brady, he was already considered an elite quarterback by 03. Once he started getting higher end players, especially in the weapons department around him by 07, setting records, 50 touchdowns. So that's why I think a lot of people want to get ahead of themselves with this. And I get it to an extent, especially if you're a Chiefs fan. It's just, you got to take a lot of Mahomes stuff and you got to triple it. I will say, and another one last point on Mahomes before I move on. You look at a lot of these numbers, the 32,000 passing yards, the 245 touchdowns. Most of his career, he's been playing 17-game regular seasons. Brady did that in his last few years, but most of Brady's career was 16 games. And you might think, oh, it's one game. But over 10 years, that's 10 extra games for Mahomes. If Mahomes plays 15 more years, that's 15 extra games. That's almost a full season's worth of extra games that he's going to be able to compile numbers. So can he do it? It's possible. But I think we got to pump the brakes before we get ahead of ourselves on Brady Mahomes, even if he wins next week. And it'll be an all-time thing, winning three in a row. And it'll be something that, yes, Brady didn't do. But still, that would be four championships. He'd still be having to triple a lot of the other numbers. So it gets him closer. It gets him past Montana if he wins next week. It doesn't get him to Brady's level. It doesn't. I will say, though, if you want to look at the coaching aspect of this, Andy Reid, he's closer to Bill Belichick than Mahomes is to Tom Brady. And look, if you just look at their regular season numbers, Belichick 302 wins, Reed 273. So Belichick has, you know, 29 more regular season wins. Of course, Belichick, you know, you add in the playoff wins as well. But Andy Reid without Mahomes, 184 and 123. Belichick without Brady, under 500, as we know. Now, I will say this, and I think this is something that not enough people are appreciating. The teams Andy Reid had in Philadelphia had a lot more talent than the non-Brady teams that Belichick had. Like, you look at Belichick's Cleveland Browns teams, not as talented as what Andy Reid had with the Eagles. You look at the Patriots the last 3 years under Belichick, and some of this is his fault, right? He was the GM. But you look at the Patriots in the last 3 years under Belichick, not nearly as talented as the Andy Reid Eagles that had. And McNabb was probably, you know, on average, a 10th to 15th best quarterback in the league. But we're talking about teams that had Terrell Owens on them, Brian Dawkins, Jeremiah Trotter, Javon Kearse was on some of those teams. Like, we're talking really, really good players, like good offensive lines. Who's the running back? Brian Westbrook, right? He was the running back. So we're talking really good players on those Andy Reid Eagles teams. And look, that's a credit to the Eagles. But I think if you saw, that's a caveat that's a little tough to quantify because, again, part of the reason the Patriots roster wasn't good the last 3 years is because of Belichick. But I think when you look at just from the coaching measurement, Reid is closer to Bill than Mahomes is to Brady, but I still think there's that gap there. Even if Reid wins next Sunday, there's still that gap there. Now, if Reid coaches for 10 more years or even 6 or 7 more years and catches Bill in the wins department and gets to a point where he's got, you know, the same amount of championships or he's only behind by one, then you might be able to sit there and say Reid surpasses Belichick. And I hate to say that. I'm a Belichick guy. Love him. Appreciate everything he did here. But I think if we're just being fair and we're being honest, that's a conversation you might need to have if Reid coaches another 6 or 7 years, and let's say he wins another Super Bowl or two. Not there quite yet, but it's a lot closer than Brady and Mahomes. And I would also say Travis Kelce and Gronk is closer than Brady Mahomes. And I would still take Gronk 10 times out of 10 because, A, Travis Kelce's been largely healthy in his career, whereas Gronk wasn't. And I think if Gronk, on a per-game basis, Gronk was a better player. And the blocking thing, I know no one cares about blocking. David, I promise I won't talk about it too much, right, because I know no one cares about blocking. But Gronk was a hell of a lot better as a blocker than Kelce was. And at tight end, whether you like it or not, folks, it matters. You got to be a good blocker. So, David, I know you don't want the Chiefs to be better than the Patriots. You said it's kind of trending that way. Of those three, Mahomes, Brady, Reid, Belichick, Kelce, Gronk, is one of those closer in your eyes than the others?
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. I think Reid and Belichick is the closest as of right now. I mean, you saw the playoff success come really with the Chiefs once Reid took over there, and obviously once they built more of the team. But I think without Reid, I don't see the Chiefs being in this spot, to be honest.
Yeah, and I think, and that's a part of this Patriots thing too, and I know we're going to talk later in the show about, you know, how much credit and the Brady Belichick the verdict show, which I'm not even watching right now. I get it. I watched every single game. I might watch the show, but like Brady and Bill went to six, or won six and went to nine because it was them together. And I think you can say something similar about Reid and Mahomes. Like Andy Reid went to a Super Bowl without Mahomes, didn't win it though. And Mahomes, I do think he would win Super Bowls without Andy Reid, but would he be going to three in a row and five out of the last seven, whatever the number is? I don't think so without Reid. Because again, I think Reid is in that Belichick neighborhood. He's not there yet, but I think he's in that neighborhood. So we're going to take your calls and texts coming up next, 617-779-7937. That is the phone line and the text line. You want thoughts on Chiefs-Patriots. You want thoughts on the Patriots offseason. You want to circle back and give some thoughts on the Celtics game last night. I'm up for any of it right after this break on WEEI.
We're back to John Lyons on WEEI.
Look, I respect Bill, the coach, and I thought he was a phenomenal coach, and he was perfect for that team and that defense. And so I probably give him more credit for our success than maybe most people do. I think Bill was a huge reason we won those Super Bowls. And I'm pretty sure I said that.
The hugest?
Not the hugest, but he was a big reason.
So you voted Brady.
I don't remember
60-40,
that.
60-40, Ted?
I don't. You know, I do it. This is how I – you want me to chop it up?
Yeah.
I go 60, Brady – You ready for this? You're not going to like this.
No, I don't think I am.
I'm going to love this.
30% others, 10% Bill.
That's Ted Johnson.
Let me ask you guys a question.
Did you just say 10% Bill Belichick?
Yeah.
Back here on WEEI, John Lyons. And I was a little surprised to hear my new colleague, Ted Johnson, who actually probably doesn't know who I am, but my new colleague, Ted Johnson, say only 10% for Bill Belichick. I think that's way too low. And I'm going to get into that in a few minutes. But first, we had a bunch of texts roll in our Chiefs-Patriots discussion. Producer David Azar, what do we got on the text line?
Yeah, so the first one is, bro, Reed has a first-round QB each time.
Yeah, and I think I will say, look, Donovan McNabb, hell of a lot better than Mac Jones and Bailey Zappi. And even Michael Vick in 2010. I will also say he had really competitive teams with guys like A.J. Feely, and I think Andy Reid deserves a lot of credit for that. He probably got the best football Alex Smith has ever played, and I give Andy Reid a lot of credit for that. So I know Alex Smith was a first overall pick. I get it, but the best football he played was probably for the Chiefs. And A.J. Feely, no one's going to confuse him with an elite QB. And Andy Reid got competitive football out of him. Remember, they almost beat the 07 Patriots in Foxborough. So, again, Donovan McNabb and even 2010 Michael Vick and Alex Smith, they're all better players than Mac Jones or Bailey Zappi or Matt Castle. I get it, but I also think he did a really good job with those guys. David, what else we got?
Yeah, so this one says, why don't we count what he did with the Giants as the defensive coordinator? Bill was literally the only defensive coordinator to be carried off the field by LT because of his game plan.
Yeah, so I do count those. And I know a lot of people around here will roll their eyes and be like, oh, well, he was the DC. First of all, being a defensive coordinator is an extremely hard job, an important one if you're going to win a Super Bowl. And he was a major part of those. I mean, his game plan is in the freaking Hall of Fame. Not many guys can say that. But that being said, if I'm going to give Belichick credit for those two rings as a DC, Andy Reid deserves credit for the one he won with the Packers. So, I mean, Andy Reid was on that Packers coaching staff that beat the Patriots in the 96 season in the Super Bowl. So I'll give Belichick the credit for the two Giants ones. I will. And I think he deserves credit for that. But I also will give Andy Reid credit for the one that he won with Green Bay. David, what else we got?
All right, one last one here. Head-to-head, Belichick has beaten Reed in the Super Bowl, AFC Championship game, and got him in the regular season, I believe. So look at that, too, if we do it for Brady versus Mahomes.
Yeah, that's a 9-7-8 texter, and I think it's a fair point, right? Super Bowl 39, not only did the Patriots win that game, it felt like in key situations they were a lot better. I mean, remember Donovan McNabb throwing up in that game and the Eagles just operating extremely slowly late in that game, down 10, yet they were operating like they were up 10. It was just, go back and watch that if you missed it. It was really weird. And I would also say that 2018 AFC Championship game, look, that was as much about Brady, I think, as anyone else, especially that second half and overtime. I mean, those are the type of performances. We're talking 10 years ago today when Brady came back against the Legion of Boom. It's that game. It's the fourth quarter and overtime against the Chiefs in 2018. Like, that's the special stuff beyond the raw numbers that make Brady, Brady. So a lot of that, but I mean, the Chiefs were shut out in the first half of that game. And the Patriots game plan wise on offense, they had the Chiefs off balance most of that game. So, and they scored 37 points. So yeah, I mean, I think I do give Belichick credit for beating Reed head to head. I also mentioned that Reed almost beat Belichick in 07 with A.J. Feely, but Bill still won the game. So yeah, I'll give him that. So yeah, I think head to head, look, it matters for Brady Mahomes. I think it also matters for Belichick and Reed. You know, head-to-head, Bill won twice in the postseason, including in a Super Bowl, the other time in an AFC Championship game. So that's a good point by the texter, for sure. So that Ted Johnson quote, the 10% Bill, I was, needless to say, a little surprised by that. This is the way I look at it. When you win six Super Bowls over 20 years, it's no one person. And it's really no two people. And even I was at Tom Brady night in June when he said, it's not me, it's not him, it's us. And he's right. And it's also a lot of other people, too. Like, when I break this down, I give Brady 40% of the credit. I give Belichick 30%. I give 25% to all the other elite Hall of Fame assistant coaches, players, front office staff that were all part of it. And I give 5% to ownership. And I know the Krafts aren't popular in New England right now, But look at some of these owners around the league. At least the Crafts provided stability during those 20 years. Could there have been times where they could have spent more money? Sure. Yes. Could they have had better facilities over the past 10 years? Yes. But they were at least stable for 20 years, and that's something that, as we look around, I mean, a lot of NFL teams don't have that stability. Look at the Jets. Look at the Browns. Look at the Raiders firing coaches left and right. And I know they just hired Pete Carroll. Shout out to him. But there's a lot of owners around the league that are not pictures of stability. At least the Crafts are. So I give them 5%. But I want to zero in on that 25% to the other elite players, coaches, because I think when we talk about the dynasty, we always talk about Brady, Bill, Brady, Bill, Brady, Bill. And look, I know that's kept some talk show hosts employed for the past 10 years. I get it. But we're talking Hall of, like, Ty Law, Richard Seymour, Rob Gronkowski, Julian Edelman, like Darrell Revis, Stephon Gilmore. And I'm not going to go through the whole list. Adam Vinatieri. Like Hall of Fame or elite level players. Corey Dillon set the team rushing record in 04. I mean, Randy Moss didn't win a Super Bowl, but he was here, set the touchdown record. So, and then assistant coach-wise, anyone who knows me knows I'm really fired up for Josh McDaniels to be back working with Mike Vrabel. Josh was part of that too. He was great. You know, Charlie Weiss, Romeo Crennel, Dante Scarnecchia. If a position coach could get in the Hall of Fame, and I think it's BS that position coaches never get in the Hall of Fame, Dante would be the guy. Dante Scarnecchia should be a Hall of Fame offensive line coach. Like, that matters. So, and Scott Pioli. I mean, look at the early Patriots rosters, because there was some reporting over the past year that obviously you always think of Bill as having full control, but he didn't fully get the full control until after that third Super Bowl. Scott Pioli was an equal voice to him those early years. And look at some of those rosters they put together. He deserves a ton of credit. Nick Caserio deserves credit. So, and by the way, if you have any doubts about Nick Caserio, look at the team he's built in Houston over the past few years. Divisional round, back-to-back years, and a quarterback's first 2 years. So I just think sometimes we get too bogged down in Brady, Bill. And I do think Ted was way too low on his Bill credit. We get too bogged down in Brady versus Belichick, and we don't give enough credit to all these other elite or Hall of Fame level players that the Patriots had over the course of 20 years. And it's the same thing with the Chiefs right now. I mean, it's Reed Mahomes, and Reed Mahomes, Kelsey, right? But, I mean, Chris Jones is arguably the best defensive tackle in the league, right? I mean, they had L'Jarius Sneed last year, who did a great job for them at corner. Joe Tooney, one of the best offensive linemen in the league. They have Creed Humphrey, Trey Smith in the middle of that offensive line, too. Like, those guys never get credit with the Chiefs. It's same thing happened here with the Patriots. That's just one little thought I had. I think we never give enough credit to all those other guys on the Patriots. They never get enough credit. So we're going to continue talking Patriots in our next hour. We also are going to be joined by Cooper Boardman at 5:20 to talk Red Sox. Coming up next, I'm going to continue the Patriots stuff, though. I want to change gears to where they're at in the offseason. Of course, if you want to call or text in about some of the dynasty stuff, the Chiefs comparisons, feel free. I'll take those calls. If you want to call about their offseason, where they're at, don't forget, the Senior Bowl is going on right now. I'm going to get into that and more coming up in the next hour here on WEEI.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
So, I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball.
Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.